B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mark, we need to think about crowds gathering again in places like your basketball arena.
Right.
You heard Dr. Gottlieb talk about the time frame for a potential vaccine. You imagine a day where everybody coming in to watch one of your basketball games goes through a magnetometer and also has their temperature taken?
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to use thermal guns to take someone's temperature and to look for fevers. I mean, is it feasible? Yes, absolutely. We have to be very cautious, particularly as we try to come back. I think, you know, at first, though, we'll play a lot of games without fans and then figure it out as some of the available medicines that Dr. Gottlieb mentioned become available. We'll go from there.
But you can envision playing games at first without any fans at all?
Without question. That's what I expect will happen. Look, people need something to rally around right now. People need sports. We need something to cheer for, something to get excited about. And there's nothing better than our sports team to do it. I mean, getting excited about a game tonight, everybody, you know, in your area watching it, rooting and cheering on. We need that right now. And I think the NBA, and I'm just guessing here, speculating, but I think the NBA is going to try to come back as early as we can without spectators, just on basketball, just on TV and streaming, and just give people something to celebrate.
All right, I think we're ready. It's Felger and Maz here on a Friday, March 27th.
Doesn't matter.
Friday, March something. Felger and Maz.
Seriously.
Presented by DraftKings. Murray and myself here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on remote. How you doing, Maz?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. Fridays are agenda-free, and they're driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Same drill, folks, even in times of the apocalypse. Anything we've gotten to from the week or anything we have yet to get to is up to you and your wonderful phone calls. As soon as Jimmy has fully disinfected the hounds, he will release them at 617-779-0985. Join us on whatever you want. In the meantime, opening thoughts from the panel. Murray, Maz, who wants to go first?
Murray, you go ahead.
All right. So NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell sent out a memo to all 32 teams telling them that the draft will go on at the end of April. And in doing so, he also warned those around the league, like any GM who doesn't like it, if you speak out about it, you're going to get a paddling. He wrote, specifically, quote, public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. And to that I say, good for you, Ginger Hammer. And he's really just an extension of the owners that want this thing to happen. But for all of them, good. If you don't like it, any whiny general manager from whatever the hell team throughout the NFL, shut your mouth or get fined. Whiny Nana Florio, you too can get fined. Any crybaby on Twitter that doesn't like this, he's got too much control, he's out of control, find their addresses and send them a check. Don't send them a check, send them a bill. Fine them. Fine anybody that speaks out about this. NFL free agency has obviously been a lifesaver, not just for us scrambling to find something to talk about on sports radio, but I think for sports fans, NFL fans, who are just looking to have something, anything to focus on other than the lurking doom of the cough of a stranger. So we've enjoyed that, right? I think we can collectively say we've enjoyed NFL free agency so far, even though it's still been weird. It's
hell given yes.
us something to yes, look at and yes, talk yes, about.
Absolutely.
So with the draft, it's the same thing. It's a checkpoint of hope. It's hope that the season starts on time. It's hope that we're going to get out of this daily hell. It's hope that it's going to be okay. So I don't get the blowback. And if you don't like it and you don't want to be optimistic and you still want to say, well, realistically, it could be 12 to 18 months. Find anybody that's against this. You speak out, you get fined. And the reality of the situation anyway is this. For any bitchy GM who's spoken out about this, and there was already one unnamed one that talked to Burt Breer of MMQB that is like, oh, the horror of this. It's not happening in Las Vegas. They've canceled all the public events. There's not going to be crowds of people. Nobody's going to get the risk of being infected by COVID-19. That's not going to happen. The rest of America is basically working from home, and they're continuing to do their job, and the handful of pearl-clutching GMs can participate in a phone conference or a Skype call or a Skype session, like how Maz is doing right now, so they can do their jobs as well and draft guys that they've watched tape on and scouted for years. You can continue to do your jobs. So shut up. Do your jobs. The draft is going to go on. Again, you don't like it? Fine them. Keep finding them. Find them up the wazoo. We need this.
Excellent, Murray. 100% agree. Maz.
Yes, so yesterday on this program, we discussed, among other things, the possibility that Mookie Betts could play no games for the Los Angeles Dodgers and still be a free agent at the end of the year. Last night, and then shortly today, it was approved. MLB and the Players Union agreed on that very scenario. They agreed on it. I thought there was like no chance of this. I thought it was just one of the many things on the table. But Mookie Betts, under the terms of the new deal between owners and players to deal with issues surrounding the pandemic, if and when the entire season is canceled, okay? And again, it probably is not going to come to that. But if this entire season were to be canceled, Mookie Betts, among others, would still qualify for free agency at the end of the year, and the Los Angeles Dodgers would not get him for a single game despite giving up three players for him in the deal with the Red Sox. Now, there are really only two prospects, and there was a backup catcher as well. But that aside, you guys tell me, am I the only one that finds this unbelievable? And look, apparently the owners agreed to this because they didn't want to create a big stink with players amid the pandemic. They thought it would be a really bad look. And from that standpoint, I agree with them. It shouldn't be a big stink. You don't want to be quibbling over small things. That just doesn't feel to me like a small thing. I find it stunning. This is like the only thing that has gone remotely right for the Red Sox in the last 18 months, if you ask me. They traded Mookie Betts because they thought they weren't going to be able to sign him, and he could be a free agent at the end of the year, and they might have done it now, facing the reality that he will not play a game this entire year, and he'll be eligible for free agency just the same.
Okay. So that's on the table. And I think this is a big topic here on the show, and it will be going forward, and that is what these leagues are going to look like when they come back. Should they come back? And do you want them to come back, even if there's big delays, even if what they come back with is unrecognizable? Tournaments, empty arenas, etc. So I think this is a big crux of what we've been talking about here. And so the baseball thing's on the table. I played you the Mark Cuban cut there, you know, 10 minutes ago, where basketball in the NBA reportedly is starting to round into an idea that I'll give you more details on coming up. But it involves, you mentioned Las Vegas. It involved Las Vegas and empty arenas. Also, baseball is part of this agreement that Maz is talking about, has just come out, or Jeff Passan got a copy of the agreement. And the first bullet point that Jeff Passan talks about is that baseball will not return. The players and the owners and MLB agreed that they will not start until this condition is met. Quote, there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. However, the commissioner could still consider the use of appropriate substitute neutral sites where economically feasible. So what they're saying is they're not going to play as long as there's a ban on mass gatherings. Does that mean they're not going to play in empty buildings? Because all they're saying there is, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, maybe it's as simple as that. No, we're not playing in empty stadiums. Or are they just saying, if there's a ban on empty stadiums, that's just sort of our threshold. And we still might play in an empty stadium, but we're not going to play any games unless the government says you can't have mass gatherings. So I'm curious, is that, you know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right
when there? When I saw this tweet, I thought it was the former, in that, you know, the government has to step in and say something because otherwise we're not playing.
Well, that's how I read it too.
Meaning, so the government says mass gatherings are okay, but we're still going to play in front of no fans.
Right. That I think it leaves open that possibility, yes. But I think that what they're saying is that as long as there is a mechanism in place banning gatherings, they are not going to play.
Okay. Even in a closed building, even in a – because, I mean, what's a mass gathering? If you play a baseball game in an empty stadium, you still have a couple hundred people in there, right? You'd still – you're still gathered. So I'm just curious because – to me, that would be a mistake if they rule out empty stadiums. That's all I'm saying. So this
agreed.
This is a long way of getting to the point of, if all you have is empty stadiums, play in empty stadiums. Okay? If that's all you have, you know, if nothing else, for a business standpoint, preserve that TV money, man. Preserve the TV money. Still deliver the product to the networks and your regional networks and NESN, and still deliver that product and recoup that revenue and, you know, give that to us. I would hate to think that baseball is going to say, well, we can't have fans, we're not going to play. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, you can't tank it just because you're not going to get the gate.
If you're saying that that's just a threshold, a public safety threshold that you'll use, because even having a baseball game in an empty stadium is going to require a couple hundred people in there, fine. Okay. Like, got it. Like, that's smart. All right, I'm into that. But don't rule out playing in front of empty stadiums, because that may be all we have here. That may be all we have, and I don't want to lose that possibility. I need that possibility.
Right.
All right, so those are our opening thoughts. I'll get to the basketball thing coming up. Whatever you want from the week, the phone lines are open at 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Mass, 98.5. The Sports Hub.
After the meeting with the world leaders, I spoke with the governors of our 50 states and territories. Our team has been in constant communication with the governors, and we had a terrific meeting. Somebody in the fake news said that one of the governors said, "Oh, we need Tom Brady." I said, "Yeah." He meant that in a positive way. He said, "We need Tom Brady. We're going to do great." And he meant it very positively, but they took it differently. They think Tom Brady should be leading the effort. That's only fake news, and I like Tom Brady. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
plug in everything from the week. We had that late yesterday, thank God.
It's the most I've laughed in 2 weeks.
Oh, jeez. You don't want Tom Brady leading the coronavirus effort. I don't know.
He's a friend of mine.
He and Alex have helped cure cancer and concussions. Now they'll defeat the invisible enemy. Front lines against COVID-19.
All right, so that happened
yesterday. Spoke to him the other day. He's a great guy.
Do that all day. All right, your thoughts on an agenda-free Friday. Jordan in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was calling in regards to the NFL draft and how you guys think these organizations are going to do their pre-draft meetings with guys and be able to draft them, and I have no idea of who the hell they're picking.
No idea, Jordan. No idea. No idea.
You could go to YouTube and put in any college player's name right now and watch film on them.
It's ridiculous. You don't know a doctor in whatever city he's in, and you can't get him. And I know these are tough times, but these are mostly orthopedic doctors or sports medicine doctors, and you're not taking away anesthesiologists or masks or, you know, you just can't send Tua to James Andrews, who's in Alabama, have him take the picture, have him send you the – I mean, I think you can do this. I think you can do it and not put strains on the and you know what? These NFL teams, how fraudulent. Do they really care that you're taking away masks from that? Or is it some scout whose ass is on the line and is now afraid to make a pick or a recommendation because he can't look at him for, you know, 100 hours over a 3-day period?
And pepper him with more idiotic questions
exactly.
In person because, like, well, I really can't get a read on him when I'm having a phone conversation or Skype. It's an easy excuse because they're all terrified of losing their jobs.
It's
complete garbage, okay? It's complete. First of all, Mike, and you made this point earlier in the week, that they're all in the same boat. Okay, they're all in the same boat, so there's no competitive advantage or disadvantage for anybody. They're all operating under the same rules. That's the big thing. Secondly, I would argue, I think you get better info on people over the phone and sort of background conversations anyway. I think the upfront, on-the-record stuff typically is most people are more inclined to give you bull crap, whereas if you get them in an honest conversation, I think you're liable to get more. You're liable to get better information.
Let's just assume, though, Maz, it's not ideal. All right? You're not going to get everything you would normally get. Welcome to 2020.
Exactly right.
Welcome to the world. Because who's got it the way they had it 3 weeks ago? No one. So the NFL, you're not going to have it the way you've always had it. Like, no one's had it the way they've always had it. So just adjust to it. Just deal with it. Andrew and Franklin here on an agenda-free Friday with a football thought. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Wasn't sure what to think about Bruce Arians, especially when he was talking about, you know, Brady and blatantly tampering early on in the process. But, man, he's gone right to the top of my list with his comments about Antonio Brown and how they're going to impact or not play well in his locker room. So hats off to Bruce. Secondly, not sure, this draft is going to help or hurt the Patriots, but, you know, I'm scared that we're going to end up with all Rutgers and all Alabama players because of Belichick and, you know, his relationship. So take care, guys.
Okay, you too, Andrew. You know, in terms of him just taking his, you know, recommendations of his Bobos, it can't be any worse than it's been.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you think, because they have limited access to some of these guys, he's going to rely even more on. Urban Meyer's gone. You know, isn't in the game. Shanahan's not in the game. But either way, I mean, it couldn't be hardly any worse than it's been. So it's Bill's always going to defer to his friends and what they tell him, for better or for worse. All right.
And I do agree with him about Bruce Arians too. I was pleasantly surprised to hear his comments about Antonio Brown, because as a guy who has a reputation for being, you know, laissez-faire, and again, Margaritaville there in Tampa, he pretty emphatically said, this guy's not a fit in our locker room. It's not what we want to establish as a culture. And it leads me to believe that maybe there's a little bit more to Bruce Arians than we see up front.
And I do find it interesting. It wasn't a sales pitch to Brady. It wasn't a package deal. Dave in Vermont on Chris Sale and Tommy John surgery. Go ahead, Dave.
I would say that it's not elective surgery if you make your living throwing the ball with that arm. I would say it's essential surgery. You're getting paid by doing that. That's right. How you make your living.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, either way, I'm not outraged if Chris Sale goes in for Tommy John. I'm just not. Maybe I should be. I'm not telling you not to be. But, I mean, so they're going to take a couple masks. They'll take an anesthesiologist. You know, I mean, I understand the trickle-down effect. I get it. I get it. If it's done now before it's really hit the fan in Alabama where Andrews is, I mean, is there actually a window to do it now? Is it actually better to do it now than to do it in a month or 2 months? Maybe it's worse in 2 months. I don't know. Maybe I should be outraged by it, Maz, but I'm just not.
Well, so look, again, using the word outrage, I'm not outraged. And I understand the caller's point, and he makes a good one. But you tell me, what's more important, Chris Sale's right to pitch? And because he'll continue to earn his living as long as a baseball players are being paid, or someone's right to live.
Right.
And I would tell you that it's B.
Yeah. And I would call it elective surgery. I would. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't care that it's his profession. It's you. If he never got Tommy John, he could go on living a normal life.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I also feel it's elective. Again, we're not talking about elective versus required for someone's career. We're talking about elective versus required for someone's ability to live.
Exactly.
So to me, that's a totally different thing.
Craig in Scituate on, sports. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, sports. So I'm just struggling to understand why these leagues and these commissioners are so steadfast on next season has to be a full season and we'll just deal with this year how it needs to be. Is that a logistical thing? Or, like,
no.
Why can't we do
it's revenue.
A shortened season this season, a shortened one next year, and kind of get two three-quarter seasons as opposed to one crap and one full?
Revenue. Revenue, revenue, revenue. They've already lost revenue this year. They don't want to lose revenue into 2020-21. So they want to just take their losses this year, salvage what they can this year, and then come back with a full business plan the next year. It makes perfect sense to me. And I frankly think they can do it. I think they can do it. I think the NHL can have an August, September Stanley Cup playoffs, start their season in November, end in late June the next year, and have a full slate. I think they can do it if they eliminate the All-Star game and the All-Star break, if they eliminate each team's bye week, and they tighten the schedule a little bit. I think they can absolutely do it. I think they should do it. I think basketball should start on Christmas Day 2020 for the next season and do a full slate and play the next NBA Finals a year from August, play this NBA Finals in September, August. I mean, I think they can do it, but that your answer is that. They don't want to lose 2 years of revenue, Maz.
Yeah, they want to catch up fast is what they want to do. They want to get right back on the beam and catch up more quickly. And in some ways, I don't blame them for that. And, Mike, I don't know what kind of stuff you're hearing on this or what Murray's hearing, but I think my understanding is a lot of these leagues are working together. The only one that's sort of operating in a vacuum is the NFL because they are the most powerful league. And obviously, right now, they're the least affected. They're still on the same calendar. But the others, including MLS, is my understanding, they're trying to work together because, again, there are all types of TV deals that overlap in some cases, and it gets complex.
Yep. So I'm hearing nothing, as usual. So I'll defer to you, but they should. I get the sense, and we'll hit on this a little bit later, that the NBA is going to be the driver on it. You know, as usual, the NBA is going to have the best ideas first, and they'll sort of set the tone, and Silver will set the tone, and everyone else will kind of follow. That would be my guess. That, I think, should be my hope, because I think he's the most competent guy out there, and they generally are the most forward-thinking league and the most thoughtful league and all of that. I think that they'll sort of set the tone, and we'll follow. Quickly, Alec in Tewksbury for Stu. Go ahead, Alec. Alec! Okay, for Jay Stu, WrestleMania. That was his comment line. What could he be calling about, Stu?
So they taped WrestleMania the last 2 days at their Performance Center in Orlando, and there are wrestlers who were sent home because they had a fever above 100 degrees.
Oh,
there
no.
are wrestlers who refused to work, things of that sort. So WrestleMania is essentially a pig bleep right now.
Wow. So that would be horrible.
So there was a performer named Roman Reigns who is coming off a bout of leukemia. So he has a compromised immune system.
Yep.
And the WWE doctor was like, yep, you're okay to perform. And he decided, no, you know what? I'm not okay to perform. I'm going home.
Well, that's good for him.
That sounds like some shady Vince stuff.
But
right
it
there.
Shouldn't have been in his hands. The doctor should have medically disqualified him.
So you're saying the lines are kind of blurred in professional wrestling?
You give them a clean bill of health or you're fired.
But there was supposedly one wrestler who was sick who worked a match, and then it upset his cousins and then Roman decided not to work. That's the rumored innuendo out there.
Well, so this is what I'm concerned about. I'll do respect, Jimmy. I don't really care for wrestling.
Hey, it gives me content for my podcast.
I get it. But I don't want this to be like they tried a closed building situation and it didn't work. People still got sick because then the real sports are going to look at it and say,
See, can't do this.
We can't do it in a closed. You can take out the fans and people are still going to get sick and it's still going to spread. And so we can't do it. I don't want that. You know, so that's...
So they've sent multiple people home because of their high temperature.
So wrestling screwed it up, is what you're saying. Thanks, Jimmy. Nice league you got there. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more on Agenda Free Friday.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gary, there are reports that the NBA is looking into playing into August. Is that a realistic scenario for the NHL? At what point do you have to say, you know, we have to start thinking about next season and we're getting a little too close to that?
Well, there has to be separation between whatever we might do to conclude this season and the beginning of next season. I envision next season will be played in its entirety, subject to the world being healthy, with preseason, 82 regular season games, and playoffs as we've come to know and love them. Whether or not, you know, we have to focus on the calendar a little bit more specifically is something that we're focused on as well. And, you know, I'm not prepared to give a drop dead date as to what the last date would be, but there needs to be time between however this season gets concluded and the beginning of the next season. You know, maybe it's July, maybe it's August, who knows?
Why can't it be September, Gary? Gary Bettman, NHL Commissioner. Do you really need more than 1 month for your offseason? I mean, especially because the players are going to be coming off of a forced three-month offseason, right? I mean...
most rest they've probably ever gotten in their lives.
Seriously. So, like, your real offseason is just before the playoffs this year. And then you take 4 weeks off, you know? I mean, I think they should be able to stretch it to the end of September. I am sorry. End of September, Stanley Cup Finals, if that's what it takes. Then you take October off. You have a draft. You have free agency. You give the players a couple weeks, three weeks-ish, and then you ramp right back up with a real quick preseason and mini camp and start your season in November. I mean, do you want all your money or not?
Right.
If you want all your money, then you got to jam it in there. And if that's it. If you want to get back money, then fine. Take your time and kill games. But no one wants to do that. None of you guys want to do that. So if you want your money, have a shorter off season. I don't understand why it's so complicated. It's not. That's just one of your things, one of your thoughts here as we continue. Rich in where, he tried to say on the MLB. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi. I think what they should take and do is play a half a season of baseball, and the minor leagues play a half a season of baseball and combine it, and it takes a lot of stress off both leagues.
So...
And your winner of the record between the minor league and the major leagues goes to the playoffs and all that.
You sort of lost me with that, Maz. Is he talking half seasons? You like the half seasons, don't you?
I like the half season idea. I don't want anything to do with major league teams and minor league teams playing each other, which it sounds like what he's talking. To me, no thanks. And in fact, because again, the quality of the product would be effective. It's bad enough as it is.
But half seasons, we're talking about.
Yeah. The half season idea I like, because if the big leagues were to ever go to it, because it creates more urgency, Mike. Now you only have 81 games to try to qualify for a playoff spot, and I think teams would approach it differently. I think baseball could use more of that.
Explain it quickly. So you have the first half of the season. If you win the first half, you automatically clinch a playoff berth, and then you play another half season, and that... if you win the second half, you get clinch a playoff berth.
Correct. Now, the danger in there is something that happened, and they actually used this format in a strike season back in the early 80s. I think it was 1981.
It was 81, yep.
Yep. The danger is that a team could finish second in both halves, finish the year with the best record in baseball, and miss the playoffs. And I would say, too bad.
Yep.
Tough break. But then win one of the halves. Go all out to win one of the halves. You better win one, or you're not getting in.
JJ and Mendon on the Patriots. Go ahead, JJ.
How you doing? Just a quick question and something for you guys to chat on. I don't know what's worse, Matt Patricia's addiction to overpaying Patriots players or Bill Belichick's second-round draft pick history. In the last 10 years, I don't even think there's one on the roster. I mean, with the exception of Garoppolo was a good one, but other than that...
Sure, Gronkowski was a second-round pick. I'd say Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Garoppolo. Give me another good second-round pick that he's made, you know, in the last 15 years.
Does Jamie Collins count?
Sure.
Yeah.
What year was that?
He had to be right around a little after
2013.
Gronk, right?
It's 2013.
Yeah. 7 years ago. And, you know, early on in the dynasty, he was great. Matt Light, I think, was a second-round pick. Deion Branch was the last pick of the second round. He hit routinely in the second round, you know, early on. Recently, it's been kind of grim. So maybe it's a good thing you don't have a second round pick. Huh? Maybe.
It's one way to look at it.
Alan in Florida, hi.
Hello, gentlemen. You know, I didn't call about this, but I am so sick of hearing about Silva being this great, great commissioner. This is a game. By the way, they should start NBA games with 2 minutes left. That's a lot better than seven-inning baseball games. Every game is decided in the last 2 minutes, which takes about a half an hour. Anyway, this is a game. Referees fix games. Oh, just slid right by. Can you imagine if that ever happened in baseball? I mean, they rest the players half the whole season is a complete joke. I know they're on your station, the Celtics. They're the fourth-rated.
The flaws of basketball are not Adam Silver's fault. He's still a good commissioner.
He's a good commissioner. How about the referees? What did he do about that? The referees that were fixed just went on like nothing happened.
That was David Stern. That was David Stern's time.
Right. But Silva was the assistant there. I mean, the NBA is such a joke, and everyone thinks they're so great. And anyway, getting back to my subject. There's never going to be, you know, seven-inning baseball games. I like the idea about starting in second base in extra innings. I think that's really, something good, and people might like it. But there'll never be a seven-inning game in baseball.
Why?
Because baseball was made for nine innings. It's going to stay that way. And it's just never going to – seven-inning doubleheaders, not going to happen.
Why was it made for nine innings?
Why was it?
Yeah.
Because that's just the way the game was played. You got certain pitches. You got a relief. It's a nine-inning game. It's
Alan,
just like,
Alan, is it?
NBA main for 48 minutes.
Alan, I think I believe you're old enough to remember this, but didn't it used to be five balls and four strikes, Maz? Wasn't there something like that?
If it was, I've never heard of it. It's before my time.
But it was before mine, too, by the way.
But it's closer to yours, Alan, if you want to know the truth.
I think there used to be, like, I think foul balls weren't strikes. And, I mean, if we go back to the way the game used to be, I think there was all that sorts of fracas stuff. Why does it have to be nine innings?
So, look, Alan's a baseball fan, as you know, okay? And as everyone knows, so he's going to be biased towards it, but he misses the point. The NBA, at least there's action before the final 2 minutes. In baseball, you have to sit there with your thumb stuck in your ears for crying out loud for something to happen. That's number one. And Alan, if we're going to start talking about the integrity of the sport, I don't know, was the baseball commissioner going to sweep the Houston Astros scandal under the rug? How about that one? Like, let's not all of a sudden pretend that baseball is this pure entity that hasn't had some of the issues that some of the other sports have had. It totally has.
Alan's thoughts on that has nothing to do with his age. It's that he's one of those hardo baseball purists that don't want to see the game tainted. Like anyone at this point, especially that's a fan of that sport, if you do care about the sport, you should be willing to see it change so it saves the sport.
So, you should be demanding it, Murray, is what I feel. You should be demanding it.
I'm just looking this up. Before 1889,
Alan was alive.
In 1887, five balls was a walk, four called strikes were a strikeout.
Strike four.
Before 1887, it was six balls.
Oh, my God.
Six balls was a walk. So we could play this game all day long. In my day, it took six balls to get a free pass. So I don't get why it has to be nine innings.
It doesn't. And Mike, based on that calendar, we're way, way overdue for a change. So I want to go to two balls and one strike.
I know. Again, just look at this. It became four balls in 1889. They've had the same effing rules for 130. I mean, what other sport has the same rules for 130 effing years?
Even golf has changed.
My God. Long commercial-free segment is next. The Brady Watch, obviously a huge topic the last couple of weeks. Who's bearing the brunt of it? Who's been the villain in Brady Watch? We'll pick that up right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think they've always underestimated in New England. You got to put your arms around athletes a little bit. They want to be liked. They want to be loved. You don't have to tell people all day you love them, but you got to hug them occasionally. Occasionally. I'm all for tough love. But I think there's a little bit of a lack of warmth with Belichick, and I think it wore Brady out.
two conditions that have to be met for Belichick to regret this. Tom Brady goes to Tampa and uses those weapons that everybody's singing about and serenading, and he gets to a Super Bowl, okay? That's one condition that has to be met. And the other one is that Bill Belichick can't find a quarterback, whether it's Stidham or somebody else. Belichick has to fail. So if Belichick was to go 5-11 next season and Tom Brady was to get to the Super Bowl, then Bill Belichick, whether he wants to admit it or not, is going to live to regret it. But, Tony, both those conditions may not be met. You may not get either one of them.
He felt that there was a flagrant lack of appreciation on the part of Bill Belichick. And listen, it came down to this. If Bill Belichick had gotten on the phone with Tom Brady a year ago, we love you, we never want to lose you, we don't give a damn what it takes, Tom Brady would still be a New England Patriot. Bill Belichick was not willing to do that. He said, damn that. And that is why Tom Brady not only is gone, but he's been gone since last year. It was a foregone conclusion. We all basically knew it. And in the end, that's what it comes down to. So clearly, Bill Belichick is the person to point the finger at more than anybody else. Because as Kraft said to me when he called last week, if Tom Brady had wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. There's only one reason he wanted to leave, and that is Bill Belichick.
So there's your consensus bad guy in the Brady-Patriots divorce, Bill Belichick, just like the Krafts wanted it. They played it well, and they continue to play it well. Robert Kraft going around telling everybody, we would have paid him, we would have had a deal, but Tom just didn't like Bill, didn't want to work for him anymore, he didn't want to be here. So the Krafts have helped push that narrative, and I think that's been the consensus narrative, but that's not how everybody feels. I feel there's been a little bit of Brady pushback this week. I think he does bear some brunt for it.
Yeah.
You know, if Brady was all about winning, all about football, and that's all he was about, would he have left for more money in Tampa for that, the losingest franchise in sports? Probably wouldn't have. So I think there's a little bit more attention to the way Brady carried himself the last couple of years here, which wasn't the worst thing we've ever seen, certainly. I don't want to go too far with it, but was a little less than what we've come to expect from him in terms of leadership and teammate sort of stuff. And so, but anyway, I think that Belichick's the villain for this divorce. Should he be, Murray?
Yeah, ultimately, yes, because I still go back to after the loss to the Eagles, coming off an MVP season. It could have been solved then if they gave Brady a real deal with real years and real money, you know, using the Drew Brees template from a couple of years ago, the 2 years guaranteed $50 million. You give Brady something like that, then he's still here. He retires a Patriot.
Yeah, I lean that way, too. I think that they had chances because the fact is that in 2020, they'd be better off with Tom Brady at quarterback than without. So for that, to me, you know, there was an error in judgment there somewhere along the way that they let it get to this point. But again, in Belichick's defense, and I think I said this too earlier in the week, was he had the guy. He had Jimmy G, and he was forced to get rid of him. So he could just easily say, don't look at me. Look at the owner.
Okay, but in terms of that extension that should have come a couple years ago for Brady, just a little one, that's Bill. And, I, you know, so the question is whether Bill's made the right or wrong call, but I think he's most responsible for it. That, yeah. You know, that I would agree.
And that change for people that I've started to turn on Brady a little bit here, I have to think a lot of it has to do with that press conference from the other day because it wasn't really dripping with enthusiasm. It almost feels like, oh, I took the job because it was there. You know, like it was my only option. Like if he was still up there and was like, yeah, the Bucks, and I wanted to do this, like just, and maybe it has to do with the state of the world right now. But even I was a little surprised, like, oh, he didn't sound pumped at all.
Okay.
So now people look at it and be like, what did you do?
Yeah, here's how I reconcile it. Bill is responsible for Brady leaving. Brady's responsible for choosing Tampa.
All right, your thoughts on Brady Watch and everything else on an agenda-free Friday. Pete Norwood, go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys, how come Kraft gave him his walking papers and let him out of the franchise tag? How is that possible?
I think that's a good question. And I think, you know, if you believe some of the reporting, Bill Belichick's asking the same thing. I mean, we're not going to give him a long-term extension, Robert, but can we, you know, maintain our leverage over him? And so I think what happened is last training camp, when the negotiations went sour, Brady pitched a fit, threatened not to make a trip to a preseason game or a joint practice with Tennessee. And Robert caved. And I think that's the answer. Robert caved, right, Maz?
Well, he did, and I think that the what's in it for Robert is that he gets an easy out in terms of saying, don't look at me. We didn't let him go. He wanted out. And I do think, though, at the end of the day, it was the right thing to do for Brady, given what he's given the franchise. It's the one thing I give the Kraft credit for. So Belichick was pissed or annoyed by it, to which I say, well, too bad. You've traded Jimmy Garoppolo for less value. Now the owner's doing the same thing. So go pound sand, pal. Like, you don't get it both ways. You don't get to take less for Jimmy G because you want him to succeed and then put the screws to Tom Brady. And I think Kraft at the end, with regard to that tag, did right by Brady, that if Brady wanted to leave, Brady had the right to walk.
Here's Mikey calling from the sandbar. Go ahead, Mikey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just a quick question. Why aren't they kicking the tires on Cam Newton? I know there's a lot of rumors out there. I mean, I think he's a better option than Stidham at this point. I mean, he's got some – always did well against the Pats. I know Bill likes bringing in guys that have done well against him.
So, Mikey, I would be tempted if Cam Newton were dirt cheap. If he were dirt cheap, if you had a chance to get Cam Newton for no draft pick compensation and a contract – and, again, I'll just make this number up, but under $5 million, like, how would you not look at that? How would you not look at that?
I still say no, because you're pausing the reset, and it's more about, you know, remaining relevant, and you're going to get into the playoffs, and I don't think you'd be championship caliber team, because I think he's cooked. He's gotten inaccurate. He's not as mobile as he used to be, so no. Like, it feels to me
well,
like...
Well, let me answer the question. You would say...
I'd do it.
Well, you would say no if you thought Jared Stidham was really good. Like,
or if he's ready, right.
Right.
If he's ready.
If you thought that you could get, you know, if you thought Jared Stidham could be as good as Cam Newton this year or close to it, then you wouldn't do it. Okay, so that's the I'm answering my own question. But if you think Stidham is a tweener to be ready this year and may be ready this year, may not be ready this year, if you were willing to develop Stidham for one more year behind Brady, then if Cam Newton comes dirt freaking cheap, I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, again, I don't know if I'd pull the trigger, but you've got to be tempted by that.
Well,
I mean, that's what I would do, because I do think it relates directly to the readiness of Stidham. And if... And I go back to what Greg Bedard had told us at the end of the season, that they thought Stidham was still a year away. And if that's true, then I'd rather have Cam Newton than Brian Hoyer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, sure. But I just, how they've handled this offseason, for the most part, feels to me like they do believe Stidham's the guy, and that's how they're going to proceed going forward. But I did read something in the MMQB from Bert Breer, though, that said that they were sniffing around Kyle Allen, who ultimately did get traded to the Redskins, and that's where I was like, uh-oh, do they believe in this kid?
So that's another one, though, but I'd sniff that, too.
Me, too.
He won games last year. He only went for a fifth-round pick, and he has 1 year and $600,000 on his contract.
Yeah, young and a lot of upside. So him I would do. Newton at this age and the beating he's taking, I'm a no.
So plus you're hedging your bets with Allen too, right? Instead of putting all your eggs in the Stidham basket, now you've got two young quarterbacks, and you say now you let them fight it out. Because I want the Patriots to draft a guy this year. I'd like to see that.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. What the latest proposal is in the NBA and what league do we have the most confidence in? We'll come back and do it right. We talk about that after Murray's 90-second update. Speaking of which, the Major League Baseball has come up with some parameters for their return. So you'll hear that news here, and then we get to your calls and this topic.